today on Faithfully Fantasy.
How Nelan could know about runes because that's just like a terrorist thing. If Nelan is like maybe terrorist, that might explain why Brenna, he can speak terrorist.
She says in a very British accent, if you listen to the audiobook. So I'll do it. The fact that you don't says you haven't been appropriately scared of the dark yet. Is that supposed to be a reference to Zayden? How did the relationship between Zayden and Kat end?
Here when he mentions this blanket.
This has to come back later, doesn't it?
For me, there's one thing that's clear about this. The mother make a blanket for Zayden. So clearly the mother. Hello and welcome to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Iron Flame.
I'm JC.
And I'm Sean.
And today we're diving into chapters 53 to 55 of Iron Flame.
Yes, we will be covering both books currently published, so there will be spoilers from Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, and anything official that we have heard about Onyx Storm, and unofficial.
Also, remember that we are discussing here mature themes. So, listener discretion is advice.
This week, we enter the network of caves in Erasure with Sloane, Vissia, and Kat, boo, on a quest to win a weekend pass for the squad who finds the most lures. We come eyes to eye with Solas, witness Andana become a slayer, learn about Second Signets, where dragons bond direct descendants of previous riders, and maybe catch the tiniest glimpse of a redemption arc for Catriona. We talk battle axes in armoires, sentimental blankets, and we're finally ready to talk about that deal with Violet's mother.
Wow, so many things we need to talk about these three chapters.
Yeah, so this is the first week we're covering only three chapters, but I have so much to say.
Yeah, it's amazing because there were like three short chapters, but they're like so packed with so many things, so much information.
Yeah, and we're getting so close to the end now, but these last few chapters just go, like, you get so much information in such a small amount of words.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so chapter 53.
Yes, the epigraph. The art of imbuing comes naturally to only a handful of signets and automatically only to one, the siphon. A study on signets by Major Dalton Cisneros. I need this book. Can we get a copy of this?
I definitely need to know more about the siphon signet. Because I think there's so many misconceptions about it, and there's no like that much official information about actually this signet. Yeah. What can you do?
So if we shall we look at what we know about siphons? We know that Kaori says in Fourth Wing, Nalan's signet was siphoning. He could absorb power from various sources, other dragons, other riders, and then use it or redistribute it. So I think there's maybe a misconception, or maybe it's right. There's a bit of confusion about whether a siphon can use the signet of another rider. I don't think they can. I think they can just move power from one place to another.
Yeah, well, they say they can use it or redistribute it. That means that maybe they can imbue the power somewhere else. But how can they use it if the only thing they're doing is just basically changing the power from one hand to another hand?
Yeah, and this is important because this changes what Nalan could have done for Brennan. So if you take the first option where a siphon could use the signet of another rider, he could have used Brennan's mending powers on himself and somehow resurrected him. I don't think that's what he did. I think he did something else. So I've talked about this before, but I think Brennan was the Venin, which is why Fenn shot him with an arrow. And that was your point.
Yeah.
Then I think Nalan siphoned the power that Brennan stole back into the ground. We've talked about this so many times.
Yes.
Then there's another thing where he could have died, kind of like Lilith when she when Sloane imbues the stone at the end of Iron Flame, the Ward Stone. Then there's this really cool thought about whether the rune, so the rune we've talked about a few times, you think it's a masking rune, don't you? You think it's hiding something.
Yes.
I thought for a while it was, and I still kind of, it could be, think it could be a like nicotine patch, a power patch where it stops Brennan from having this addiction to channeling from the earth. Mm-hmm. But there's another option, which is kind of like a resurrection rune, where the power that Naelin siphoned into Brennan was fueling that rune. So rune is powered. It can last for however long it's you tell it to when you make the rune. So the rune on Brennan's hand could be a resurrection rune that is powered by the power that Naelin siphoned into him. And either Naelin burnt out or he channeled from the ground. He siphoned from the ground. But I just don't see, could a siphon turn venom? Because essentially, he's not using the power, it's just passing through him.
We come to the conclusion that Naelin is a siphon. The only thing that he can do is just move power. He can't use it, he just moves it.
He moves it and redistributes it, is what Kaeor says.
Yes, so I was thinking right now, okay, if he was able to use a rune for whatever intention, because either it's a, like you say, a resurrected rune, which I don't know if I, in some point of the book, mention anything about it.
No.
I don't think so. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible. So that's one thing. The second thing is how Naelin could know about runes, because that's just like a Tirish thing. So I was thinking, if Naelin is like maybe Tirish,
mm-hmm.
because we're talking about before the revolution and everything, because he got involved just when it was happening, could be that he actually was Tirish, and that might explain why Brenna, he can speak Tirish.
That's good. I guess the thing that confuses me about this whole thing is Tern's role in that rebellion, the apostasy. Kaori says Tern was the reason Navarre won that battle. You've got to presume that Naelin was fighting for Navarre, have we? Or are we missing something? Was the reason that Navarre won because Naelin died and Tern fell, so Navarre didn't have to fight Tern? That's a totally different way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
What side was Tern fighting on? I just don't know if we don't know what happened to the dragons, and I've got so much to say about this later when we talk about second signets from dragons that bond direct descendants of previous riders. But we don't know whether the dragons that were on the side of the rebellion were accepted back into the Vale. Did they die? Were they executed with their
Well, definitely rebels? Dragons don't respond to human law. So
yeah, but they respond to the Empyrean.
To the Empyrean, yes. But the Empyrean is quite open about, like, okay, if you want to fight with against Venom or you want to stay, it's up to you. So they're quite open because there's no like unanimous decision about it.
Yeah.
So right now it's just like, I'm not listening, you do whatever.
Yeah.
That's it. But it will be interesting, two things. Find out if Naelin is actually Tirish. That would be the first one. And the second one, if they knew what was going on before they went to Tirendor. Definitely he knew after Brennan turned into a Venom.
And what was Sigael doing this whole time? Because she wasn't bonded at that time, because her previous rider was Zayden's granddad.
Yes.
And he died 50 years ago.
Yeah, so for 50 years, what she was doing just in the Vale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know, because some dragons would have been fighting, wouldn't they, without a rider.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the theory that the siphon could be part of the cure for Venom. So, like I mentioned before, returning the power that is stolen from by the Venom back into the ground. Everything's in balance, so presumably you can somehow restore what you took and be cured,
mm-hmm.
or have your soul restored. There's obviously a lot of chat about what happened to Lilith when she was pregnant, and also later when Violet is at presentation day in Fourth Wing and she talks about the time her mum comes home with bloodshot eyes and she's screaming that she's a Venom, but actually it turns out she's just tired.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a day where Lilith channeled again. She could have channeled once when she was pregnant. She could have been in control, because we know that Nolan wrote her a missive that said there is no cure, there is only control.
Yeah, but we don't know what time was this, isn't it?
We don't, but we know it is some time ago, because Nolan has a different rank, a lower down rank. True. Than he has in the current day. So we know it's not today.
Yeah, he wasn't so we talking know about it's not Jack Barlow. Yeah.
And that's exactly why Rebecca did that, because she wanted to give us a hint, just like a tiny bit of sugar.
Yes, just like something that if yeah. you are paying attention, you will find that.
Yeah. So could it be that Lilith was still Venom, but seriously in control? And that's great news, because that shows us that Zayden can potentially still be... If anyone's going to be in control, it's Lilith Sorengale. If the next person's going to be in control, it's going to be Zayden Ryerson. So if you think about what happens at the end of Iron Flame, where Sloane is imbuing the Ward Stone and Lilith dies, is there a period of time where the power that Lilith stole in those minimum two times that she could have channeled, did that go into the stone and hence back into the earth? That restored her, that cured her, and that meant she was mortal and could die.
Again, if I don't find any signs about Lilith's funeral or that role, or like completely proof that she is dead, I won't believe that she is actually dead.
Yeah, there's definitely a body that's in the courtyard. So there's definitely a body. But yeah, I know what you mean. But I think she's mortal, and I think she's dead. I'm calling it now. But I think she was Venom, and Sloane has been part of that.
That's what I mean. If she's dead, it will be really clear at the beginning of Onyx Storm. So it will be like a ceremony, or it's going to be in the death roll. So it's going to be something that Rebecca as a writer will be like, okay, this is the
closed. End.
And exactly. There's no open ending or anything. It's just, that's it. This is the end for Lilith Sorengale. If I see a window, then I see that, okay, the door is closed, but there's a window open, then I was still thinking.
Do you think she would do that again after Brennan, after Jack? I know that there's no conclusive evidence that Jack is dead, apart from the Mountain Forerunner falling. I get what you're saying, that there's an issue on the death roll, but
that's what I was thinking.
Doesn't it not get a bit old if you keep saying someone's died and then, oh no, they're not? I know it's like a theme of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but then she would be laughing like, oh, you're not learning.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I'm not learning.
Yeah.
Someone said to us about Rogue from X-Men.
Yes.
I don't know much about X-Men, a bit, but
she kind of like a siphon, because what she does is when she touches somebody, she gets like all the strength of this person. But I don't think she gets like stronger or anything. Just that the person gets really weak. So
yeah, that's, but that's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, so that is what happens with Siphon. They like you tell all the power. So I'm guessing with Rogue will be exactly the same. That's why she has gloves all the time, because she doesn't want to touch anybody by mistake. And I think in the movie, she was used, so she can grab the powers of Magneto. So basically she's using Magneto power to sacrifice her, because Magneto doesn't want to sacrifice himself. So she uses him as a medium. Yeah, so he can use his power without his sacrificing.
We didn't do a spoiler warning for X-Men.
Well, that was like 20 years ago.
No, so but I haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen it, not going to see it now. You have to wait for a remake.
Casey has summarized it for you there. I did a lot of thinking about this and a lot of reading about this. And the main point in summary is that nobody really knows what a siphon can do. There's a lot of confusion. Some people think that they can use the signet. Some people think they can't. Until we get hold of this book by Major Dalton Cisneros, we do not know.
Officially, they just can move the power from one place to another one, but they don't say anything about signet.
No.
They don't say that actually you can use the signet of the person that you've taken the power.
However, we do see that taking somebody's power weakens them, but it also can be a kind of solution for burnout. can't it? Because we see that in this situation in the cave, mm-hmm. where Sloane is holding Violet. Violet's like trying not to release her power because she doesn't want to accidentally strike Andana or Kat or anyone. So, but she says that she feels weak, but she also feels like her power is under control. So Sloane or a siphon could also be kind of a solution for burnout, but they could be burning out themselves in doing that. It's a weird signet, isn't it?
Yes. At the beginning, I used to think that it was just like cloning the sickness. So I thought that's how he resurrected Brenna. That he get the mending power
you
from Brenna.
You can't mend something that's dead, though, surely.
Yeah, but that's why I thought that he got burned out, because he was just non-stop and trying to mend whatever it was, body, soul, life, until he died doing that. But then when I start to see like more information about the siphon, I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense.
It's like moving power from one place to another.
Yeah, that's why I came with the second theory, that it was maybe ground the power from the ground passing to Brenna, hoping that all that power will just bring him back to life.
Redistribution is an interesting word, isn't it? Because that kind of makes you feel like balance. Everything's back, everything's fair, everything's shared.
Yeah.
So I think Sloane will have a major part in winning this war.
Yeah. I was just thinking right now, because if that rune that Brenna has in the hand is maybe like a resurrector rune, something that maybe has not been mentioned yet, but what about if I would get in the clues and the books or the Imperium series, because we start to see little by little it's taking like a rune. So we start with a circle on fourth wing, then the square on top of that circle on Iron Flame. I can't remember exactly what is in an Onyx Storm, but maybe
it's like a rounded square. I don't know. Do you think it would be important enough in the whole series to be that rune on the front cover?
I think maybe by the time when it's complete, we will find out what does it mean, and it's something important. Maybe is this. There's a resurrected rune, and not many people know about it. It's a Nolan, obviously, for some reason.
I feel like he was Tyrish. I think you've got that right. I think a black dragon possibly feels more closely connected or an affinity to a Tyrish person. Tyrish. Obviously, Tern bonded Violet, who isn't Tyrish, but there's reasons for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Melgrin. I would presume he isn't, but we have seen Tyrs who did not fight in the rebellion. There was one of the wing leaders, wasn't there?
Yeah.
From Fourth Wing, who didn't like Zayden and said that he was trying to get revenge on her family for not... It was Amber Mavis, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah. Because she was treated as a traitor, and she was part of the Tyrish part as well.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the epigraph.
Now prepare for chapter one.
I think we've covered quite a lot anyway. Right, so can we talk about the grouping? So the squad is split up, and we've got Violet, Sloane, Vissia, and Kat.
Yes.
That's the only Griffin flyer.
Mm-hmm.
Got three riders and a flyer. It's quite funny, though, the conversation, especially when Andana gets involved. And they're having a bit of a fight, but Violet is the bigger person. She says sorry, and she can admit when she's wrong. And Andana calls her arrogant, and Violet just tells her. So she's not hiding it. She's like, Andana says you're arrogant. You haven't got the confidence to back up a word like...
It's very similar to our t-shirt. My dragon think that you are annoying.
Yeah. Liam didn't like Kat either. Do we think that Zayden confided in him? Or do you think he just knew? Just an excellent judge of character.
Yeah. I think there's more there, to be honest.
Yeah, Zayden doesn't seem like the talking type, does he?
No, he's really busy leading a rebellion. So unless it's something there.
Emotionally unavailable in general.
Yeah, at least there's something that he really feels like engaged in this game with Violet. He had no time for anything else.
No. I said he was emotionally unavailable most of the time, unless he's doing an amazingly romantic speech, which we do get one in these three chapters. Rebecca Yarrows knows how to write a declaration of love. Actually, I strike that. I think it might be Violet's declaration of love in this chapter, these chapters. Anyway, Rebecca Yarros can write a love declaration.
So they're hacking to go to the entrance of the cave. Some arguments, Sly first Sloane against Kat. So Sloane like basically telling why she hates her or why she's annoying. Then when Kat starts to like go out against Sloane, Violet is like, wait. Calm down. If you want fight, you come for me. Well, leave her alone. So she's being like big sister. Yes, she's looking after her as she promised to Liam.
I love Sloane. She's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
I know we've already broken her sticking it down quite a lot, but she was fiercely kind of protective of herself, wasn't she? And obviously came in as a, and you've got to remember all the marked ones are told. General Sorengel is a big part of the reason why their parents were executed. So they're not going to like their daughter. They're just not. You can't see the person that was responsible for executing your parents and immediately think, oh, they must be pretty sound. Like, you just wouldn't think that, would you? It feels like Sloane has been on a journey through these letters that Liam has left her, and she's now seeing that how much he liked Violet.
Has to be, because obviously he sacrificed himself for Violet, so I'm pretty sure that all of that will be reflected in the letters.
He sacrificed himself for Violet. He became one of her best friends. I get that. But he also sacrificed himself for Zayden. If you think about what he was doing, he was protecting essentially an extension of Zayden's life.
Yeah, obviously Zayden. He knows that if something happened to Violet, it would be for Zayden as well.
He would have done it anyway, but he ended up starting.
Violet saves Liam's life, and I think he feels as he has a debt with her.
Well, no, I get what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is, if he didn't like Violet, he would still have died for her to prevent Zayden from dying. But it just so happened that in his job to protect Zayden via Violet, he really started to care for Violet. He would have done it anyway. It doesn't matter in the end what that relationship was going to turn into. He would have still died for her to save Zayden.
Yes. So they get into the entrance of the cave. That's really narrow. But so they are a dragon bigger than Andarna wouldn't be able to get in. Then there's something interesting about this, because is Tern, the one who said there was a town that my kind dwell in the very mountains of this range. That's what Tern tell her. But I was thinking, like, is this going to be just like black dragons that were like in this range? Or he's talking about like just dragons in general, that maybe there were some dragons that were using this. And if it were the black dragons, how long are we talking about? Because obviously there was a time maybe before they moved to close to the Ryerson house, or when they had like the veil for the black dragons. So are we talking about maybe, I don't know, 600 years ago?
Yeah, I think he's talking about his kind being the Duke Medine line. But what I think is so interesting about these caves is that Brennan says he woke up in a network of caves.
Yes.
His dragon is orange. Solus is orange. So did something happen in recent history? We know how orange dragons are fickle and they change their, they're unpredictable. They change their breeding ground.
Mm-hmm.
Did something happen with orange dragons down in these network of caves? I don't know, because I don't think so, because we get the first hatchling in Erasia and something amazing happens and the magic is restored and everyone feels like a beam of light. You'd think if the orange dragons had previously been there, then that wouldn't have happened, because you'd have had hatchlings there anyway. I feel like there's something to do with the orange dragons that know about this network of caves.
Mm-hmm.
Or did Solus just find it? Would you just turn up?
I don't know if is the orange dragons doing something, because we know that when they change the hatchling ground, change the magic as well. So is it maybe something related with the case that made this magic get stronger, get weaker?
Yeah, so the Duke Medine line we know is from Erasia anyway. So I think he was just talking about that. But there is something shady going on. I feel like this is definitely the network of caves that Brennan woke up in.
Yeah. Okay, so while they're getting closer, instant rise or nausea from the smell of earth around is just missing the Dan Essen from the interrogation chamber, as well Violet says, or what she thinks. And then I just start to see as well that she really are into like smells. You notice that she's like constantly describing things with the smells, like the way that she describes Zaydan. And I found that interesting because there's like part where dragons are like describing things with the smells as well. So I was like, it could be maybe
the hint
that she has something like dragon thing.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
She's like, if you pay attention when she is describing a place or something, it's constantly like
the smell of sulfur, the smell. Yeah,
but could be that like as a hint, or could be just Rebecca as an author trying to give you all the experience, all the sense.
Yeah, she's obviously still. So there's two things about this. One, she's obviously still traumatized by that interrogation, which you would be, like, it's horrendous.
Yes.
But two, it's a massive hint that something related to Varys is around. I mean, she's saying it's only missing Varys, but Solas is so close. And it's like a foreshadowing, an immediate foreshadowing. So you get it just a few pages before you find out that Solas is lurking in the caves. But every time there's a bit of foreshadowing like that, I just know there's so much in these books that we're going to read after Onyx Storm. Because obviously we'll finish Onyx Storm and we'll go straight back to ourselves. We won't inflict that on everyone. But we'll be able to find all the things we missed. True. All the things we didn't see as clues.
Yeah, hopefully we'll find our clues for the next one as well.
Yes.
Okay, so they need fire. Violet, like chicken, like, okay, any signet that's useful for this? And nobody has a signet yet.
Yeah, I think that makes you realise why they put Vissia and Sloane with Violet and Kat, because they put two that hadn't manifested with. But poor Vissia doesn't even ever get to find out what her signet is.
Spoiler alert, but yeah.
Rest in peace, Vissia.
Pieces, nearly. But Kat is nearly prepared. So she had a torch, but she needs something to light her.
Yeah, before she does that, though, she criticizes Andana.
You had a dragon.
Yeah, and then Andana says, remind her that I can sever her head with one bite. Another piece of foreshadowing to what happens to the venom at the end when Kat is like riling up that venom, and then Andana comes and just snaps her head off. So, yeah, just foreshadowing galore in these chapters.
True. Violet is defending Andana as well. She said that, well, she can't breathe fire yet, but she will. Mm. Then when Andana said that reminder. So Violet is always improvising, is always like with good ideas. She thinks about the conduit. So she asked to Sloane to do the same that she was doing with Felix. So she started to pull the lightning just enough to maybe do some sparkles, some kind of like magic trick.
Yeah.
And then Kat is the one who used it to make the fire.
There was a bit about this torch. Violet is really shocked that Kat's prepared and carried a torch. Well, a piece of wood. She says, the fact that you don't, in a very British accent, if you listen to the audiobook. So I'll do it. The fact that you don't says you haven't been appropriately scared of the dark yet. is that supposed to be a reference to Zayden? Has Zayden done... How did the relationship between Zayden and Kat end? I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because he's a bloody shadow wielder. But when she says the fact that you don't carry a torch says you haven't been appropriately scared of the dark yet. So I wonder if Zayden lost control or something. I mean, she says she's never seen him lose control, but you know what I mean? If he used his signet in some way and Kat got scared. Also, the tagline for Onyx Storm is Brave the Dark.
Yes.
So I just like, I don't know, just link of that.
Maybe not lose control, but be like really angry and then just put everything around just in completely dark.
Even if like, because Kat can see the anger, she could be like accelerating his anger. So it's not that he would actually normally do something scary, especially not to, like, I don't think he would have wanted to harm her, but if she was amplifying his anger, and he did something scary, and she's now terrified of the dark. Sorry, yeah. Zayden, but could have happened.
True. More we cut around.
Yeah. The Flyers seem a bit more of a team than the Riders. They trade runes. One of them's really good at it, so they make loads of that particular one. Somebody's really good at another one. Then they trade them to make sure everyone's well-equipped. Teamwork makes the dream work. It just shows that Riders, like, and she says that you've been used to hoarding power for so long, you've forgotten how to, like, help each other win.
Yeah.
It's amazing how Riders can win anything, considering how they're raised by Bazgaia.
Yeah, it's like raised as a, like, rock stars. They have to be, like, each one individually has to be the best.
Mm.
And they create this competition between everyone.
And they kill the weak ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but Violet's getting really good at stretching her power to the conduit. I think that's really cool.
Everyone is impressed, even Kat. Like, why you had to be so strong, like, what, badass?
Just jealous.
Yeah.
But Violet says Felix is probably going to have her head on a, it says pike in the book, but I didn't know if that meant spike. Maybe a pike is a stick. I don't know. She's probably going to have my head on a pike tomorrow at lessons. Mm. I don't get why.
I think maybe it's because she haven't practiced and he's going to push even more because they said they're going to do more, can't remember how many.
Yeah, 15 feet. 15. Oh, because she's struggling to do it at like 5 steps.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, Kat hates that Violet is so powerful, and when she's corrected and says it's not power that's doing that, it's control, she's like, well, I kind of loathe that too.
Yes.
Did you laugh at Violet's scribe joke? We might not compliment each other, but we compliment each other. I did laugh. Yeah, I did laugh at that, which means I would probably be a scribe.
You'd be a scribe.
I think
were like, well, I think Yesenia will find that fun.
I think I would be a scribe, but then I'd get jealous of all the power and I'd probably channel.
You'd be a venom.
I'd be a venom.
A really smart venom.
That's why scribes turn venom, because they're
jealous of the dragons. Yeah. Can I create a wife or now?
They just can't make it up the steps to parapet. They're like lazy. lazy
you can't do it with a rope, isn't it? It would be like a parachute.
Yeah.
That's a scribe.
Yeah, because those baggy trousers that Violet was about to cross.
Yeah,
exactly. Baggy trousers. You know how a comedian has really good timing?
Mm-hmm.
And normally in a book, you just read it as you read it. But Rebecca Yarros put in, there's a breeze, like a breeze going by. And that's just like tumbleweed. You know, it's just really clever writing. It's funny.
Bad joke.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Okay. They're walking, they're talking, and then it's Visia the one that asks, do you have 2 signets? Because, I mean, 2 dragons, 2 signets. And Violet's like, no, but actually, Andana.
Yeah, will I?
Yeah, will I? What are you asking me?
she's so aggro, isn't she?
Such a sagil. Spirit.
If not, it's not my problem, it's your problem. It's what she's saying. If you don't, it's on you, babe.
Yeah.
Sloane is not really listening. She lets out such a gem. Now, I think there's a potential theory here. Well, no, I definitely have a theory, but it might not be backed up in 100% evidence, which is kind of a common theme with our theories. She kind of says, no, don't be silly. You only get a second signet if you're... dragon has previously bonded a direct descendant.
Yeah.
So she talks about Quinn. She says Quinn has a really strong bond, but she wasn't a direct family member, just a great niece. So her signet's more powerful, but she doesn't have 2. Oh, incidentally, Quinn, we find out the name of Quinn's dragon here, and it's Cruth, which is figure, form, or shape. And we know Quinn can astral project. So we will be kicking ourselves if there are clues in the name Andana.
Can't be Andana. It has to be the full name. So it will be Andana.
Andana Yoram.
Maybe it's an anagram. It's a part.
Well, it means second honor.
Yeah.
Means second honor, which is like the first honor was probably the first seventh Dundragon that died to save everyone. And Andarna's going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Second honor. She's the second one. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not related to Cygne.
Yeah. But Garrick's dragon, what's he called? It means, does it mean pain?
Yes. We talk about his last episode.
I can't remember its name though. Sorry. I've got the notes.
Well, we remember that it means pain, and then we come with other theories there. You can hear it again in the previous episode.
Anyway, right. So my theory here is that several of the rebellion, the marked ones, have bonded dragons who have previously bonded direct descendants. Sloane says that Thought? Her dragon, which means giving.
Yeah.
Or taking in Scottish Gaelic. We don't know. We don't speak Scottish Gaelic. But we get both translations. So she says that Thort tells her all of this. But I had a suspicion that Liam had also potentially said something in a letter. Yeah. Because I don't think that Liam wielding ice in the Battle of Resen, we know that he had far sight, so he could see really far ahead, but he also throws ice. I do not think it was an editing error. I think Day has previously bonded a direct family member of Liam. Did any of the dragons bonded to the traitors survive? We know that the traitors were, the so-called traitors, were executed. What happened to their dragons? And we said this at the start, were they accepted back into the Vale? If so, there's a very good reason that they might have rebonded. Day could have been Colonel Mari's dragon, but they would have known that.
There's the thing that I was about to say, because once you bond for the very first time, you had somebody taking their record, the full name of your dragon, and then obviously your name. So everything will be in the records. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how it works. Like, once they have new bonds, they say, okay, which dragon is this one? Mm-hmm. Who was the previous rider? And if they say there's like direct
it's not allowed.
Descendant from that, they told to the Empyrean.
The Empyrean might cancel it out. Yeah, but it could be like the same thing where they're bonding. And there's like either a mistake in it, you know, like Segael, there's a mistake in the record.
Yeah, because so far that's the only reason that Segael went through all of this with Seidan, because they just didn't have like the right name or Seidan's grandfather. So there's like misinterpretation or something, or it was fake.
No, I don't think it's fake. I think what I've been trying to work out what happened. So if it was the paternal grandfather, what could have happened was, because they were noble, the paternal grandfather went in with his brother's name because he was maybe the oldest child and wasn't allowed to go into the Riders Quadrant because he was the next in line to the throne. So there could have been that situation. There also could have been a situation where he fathered a child before he went into the Quadrant at 21, and this child was a bastard child, which obviously doesn't matter, but it matters in, I mean, we have one of those, but it matters in nobility. And potentially if someone found that out, Fen could have been that bastard child. If it is the paternal grandfather, we don't know, it could be the maternal one. All we know is that it's the grandfather. It could be that Fen's claim to the throne of Tirindor would be not right, like he wouldn't be the next in line for the, even though he's the duchy, sorry, I know that there's no throne, or there is a physical throne, but he wouldn't have become the duke. So there could have been a situation there where, like, he took his brother's name. We know that Cam Arik made up a name, but it doesn't mean they couldn't just switch to his brother's name. I don't think that works now, because no son of the king was allowed to be a rider, because Cam is the youngest one.
Cam, yes.
Although someone did point out, we didn't know, I don't think we actually get confirmation that there's only three of them. But anyway, he's the youngest one we know of. And perhaps 50 years ago, it was slightly different, where it was only the first in line that couldn't. So that could have happened. Or it could have been that the granddad had an affair with the brother's wife, and they didn't know who was the dad. But that would be weird that Zayden would know.
Yeah.
So I feel there's something Zayden knows, doesn't he? And he's obviously found out his family history. Of course, it could have been the paternal grandfather, so mum's dad. But I haven't thought enough about that yet. So you see envelopes around our house, don't you, with like Zayden's family tree that's like scribbled out angrily because I've got so pissed off because I've got so far and I'm like, so yes, could have been his brother, could have been married, could have had an affair. What is this? Bodhi could be a brother. And I'm like trying to link it up and then I get so pissed off that I just like scribble on it. but yeah, Imogen is another one in that she kind of, I don't know whether she's trying to hide her signet because it's classified about my wiping memories. But when in Fourth Wing, when we find out she can wipe memories, she also says, and I'm really fast.
Mm-hmm.
She links it with her signet. I know that everyone says that being really fast is a lesser magic, which we know it is. You can increase your speed. But could she also be a speed wielder where she's like really fast? Faster than lesser magic could do, and that's because she's got a direct descendant, a grandma or a granddad as well. It just seems like there'd be a good reason for it, because those dragons would possibly trust the descendants of the ancestors.
For the Blue Riders.
Yeah, to do the right thing and fight the Venon. Because if they wanted to do the same thing, it's a fight that's like a grandfather's fight, a son's fight, a grandson's fight. Like,
yeah,
it's passing down, isn't it? Because this thing's been going on for years.
Centuries. Going back to this chapter, Sloane is the one that she's not like listening, or she understood something different when they're talking about two sickness. And then she's the one who explained all of this. Mm-hmm. That if a dragon's bonded with somebody that is from your family, your direct descendant, you will get two sickness. Or could have equal chance of causing madness. And I was like, oh, will be this like the perfect plot if maybe all of this has happened. It just in Satan's imagination. He's actually mad. He's in Basquiat in a room like with phone everywhere, so he can't hurt himself. Like, yeah, and the Shadow Willy. Yes, Aiden, come on.
It's time for your medicine.
That will be something unexpected. No?
And Violet is like the nurse the healer that brings yeah. medicine.
Yeah, we're born to be together. Yes, Aiden, come on, take your pill.
Oh, my God. Disappointing.
I mean, that could be a hint. Equally can cause madness.
Yeah, right. You're an intense. Yeah. Like, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone.
Yes.
Paranoid.
I mean, there have been movies made when the main character in the whole movie has been dead. No spoiler alert on this one, but there have been movies about it. So, what about this?
Yeah.
Say that's crazy all the time. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so yeah, they were talking about all of this and then. Boom, something hits Violet.
Well, Violet's not okay, is she? So she's distracted. She's worked it out. We haven't been told yet, but you can see that Violet is not okay.
She remembered Satan's letters and then this new information.
I think I did put two and two together at this point the first time I read it. I think I did. I don't know if I'm giving myself extra credit. I'm pretty sure I was like, oh, what about Zayden? Zayden's going to go mad. That's what I did. I didn't necessarily think he had a second signet. I immediately thought he was going to go mad.
Yeah.
Whereas she jumps immediately to the fact, well, he's not mad yet, so he must have a second signet. But Sloane doesn't say the time scale for going mad. So I was like, oh no, Zayden's going to go crazy.
She said that gravity shifts, that she doesn't feel right, and Darna can feel it. She said, and Darna, it's fine, but both know that she is not. She just find out all of this. But at the same time, Visha is like, oh, there it is. So they find this playing metal chess.
Mm-hmm.
It's Violet, the one who has to cut if she can go to do like her stuff, because she's the best with runes and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Kat is really happy listening to this.
Yeah, because she's just seen how powerful Violet is and she feels inadequate.
Yes. So she's doing her stuff and then here we go. Andarna said the essence for others grows stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the dragons using the smell as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, Wyvern? She said, no, they smell stolen magic. I'm like, what kind of smell is that? Stolen magic? Is it like fruit? Fish?
No, something bad. Like, have you ever been to like a place where there's loads of bats?
A cave.
A cave or like a bat house in a zoo?
Yeah.
They stink. Like, they stink. Giraffes. Ugh, giraffes absolutely stink. Giraffes look great from a distance, but if you ever go to a giraffe, like, safari hut, ugh, yeah, God, I think it smells like that.
Stolen magic.
Like, bat shit and urine, or
stolen
giraffe
shit.
Urine. Ugh, sorry, everyone. Gross. Hopefully they're not eating. I think that's what a wyvern smells like. That's the worst smell I can think of.
Yeah, it's not a wyvern that's coming. She said, no, it's a dragon, it's coming. So automatically, Violet thinks there's the other teams that are coming for this one. Yeah. So they need to act quick.
And she's like, eh, they're not going to kill us.
But she was wrong. There was a orange dragon.
Found her.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Vizia.
Solas attacks. Violet just managed to grab Kat's backpack. They fall on the ground. Vizia, she get the whole hit. She goes against the wall. And then Violet is in a crack, and yeah, she's dead.
So, turns out that Solas didn't die when Varys died.
It's an orange dragon. Yeah. So, like, it's kind of like...
Next! Yeah. but there is mention of fetid breath. We do not have confirmation that rotten breath means a connection to venom, but we all seem to think
we start to see it, though. They pretty much that every stinky breath... For a dragon, it's related to a venom.
To the point where, do you remember once we made up, we totally made it up, that Brennan's dragon has a stinky breath?
Marb.
Marb is a brown, no, Marb is an orange dragon.
Orange dragon as well,
it's Dane's dragon, his cat is brown, and I keep thinking Dane's dragon is orange, because, like, you know, this is the type. but we made up the fact once, and shared it on a reel, that Brennan's dragon had stinky breath because it was venom, and everyone was like, where is this evidence? And we were like, sorry, we had to issue.
Find it for us. we can find it either.
We had to issue an apology, but I'm sure I've seen it so many places. Anyway, this could be confirmation, or it could be just that some dragons have poor oral hygiene, but could be confirmation that Varys was venom, or just that Solas is corrupt. But Varys had so many hints. Varys was not dead when he was stabbed with a normal sword. He was dead when he was stabbed with an alloy-hilted blade.
In the heart. So.
Yeah, like.
That will be like something important as well.
But also, Varys said, some of us control our dragons. And is it Emeteria? He's like, interesting. Would that mean you gave him the command to kill all those things?
Same was Kaori. When he was fighting against Kaori. Kaori was defending Violet because she left their class because Tyr was
thinking. Could be. Well, I like Kaori and Emeteria. It's no longer.
Yeah, I think
like
it was Kaori thinking that, well, you can't blame her because Tyr is too powerful for a second year to control.
So Kaori's got this book that he just leaves casually lying around for the squad battle to steal. I really want to get my hands on that book, but I wonder what he says about Solas in that book. It's like got the flaws and the strengths and flaws of all dragons in active service, which is not the type of material you leave lying around.
Solas fly is really easy, just send the opposite side.
He's got no eyes now. So it could be that Varys was a venom. I think everything points to the fact that he was venom. However, he is very, very likenable, is that a word, to Professor Umbridge in Harry Potter.
Finally.
Nearly an hour in and I mentioned Harry Potter. I've got another couple of things to mention about Harry Potter. And there was the really big thing where she wasn't a Death Eater, she was just bad. Mm-hmm. And it could be that Varys wasn't a Death Eater or a Venon, and he was just bad. But I do think he was Venon.
But if I was a Venon, it was just stage one, yeah. when they can just go back to like human shape, just going to say. And he died like that.
So I think chapter 53 might have been one of the shortest in Iron Flame, and we have taken the longest time to get through it. But so much good stuff. So shall we go on to chapter 54?
Yes, please.
The epigraph. I'll say one thing for Dragonfire. It kills quickly. Colonel Kaori's Field Guide to Dragonkind. I want this book as well. I just need a library of all these books. Not really an important epigraph, in my opinion.
I mean, Kaori is the expert in dragons, and the gem that he draws, Dragonfire killed. Like,
quickly.
Still. I mean, it's fire.
Yeah, I could have told him that, and yeah, I've exactly. never seen a real-life dragon.
I mean, it's not the dragon fire kills quickly. It's just if you're doing from a torch or something that just blowing yeah. fire to you, you will die as
Do you
well.
Think he was struggling for word count in his book? And he was like, I'm not going to get this published.
Yeah.
Scribes are going to be like, no, this is not a waste. This is a waste of a good printing press.
So, Solas is ready to attack with fire after the amazing epigraph for Professor Kaori.
And on today's episode of What the Fuck is Professor Kaori Doing? He is just telling us stuff we already know.
Yes. Second thing, dragons are really heavy.
Dragons are big.
Actually, how you die like faster if a dragon just breathes fire on you or if I just squeeze you like a grape?
I've just remembered though something else that Kaori says that is really obvious. He's like, the dreamless sleep is dreamless.
Yes.
Another gem from Professor Kaori. It's like, he's called the Dragon Watcher, isn't he, by turn? But it just shows that he spent his whole life dedicated to trying to find out about dragons, and they're still so secretive he can't find anything out. So he just has to write shit like, I'll say one thing about Dragonfire, it's hot.
Maybe he's just lazy, and then he's just like, yeah, I'm going to watch the dragons, and he just go, God, no, doing what?
I think it's there to show that, like, you can spend your whole life trying to know about dragons, but they're still so secretive, you know nothing. So, yeah, it's funny that.
Anyway, so they're ready to attack with fire. And then Andarna is the one that jumps and with the wings that protect Kat, Sloane, and Violet.
She can't die because she's third in line to the throne.
Yeah, that's a really weird thought. I can understand that, okay, she can't die because if she dies, Sedain is going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I give her that. But she's third in the throne. Like, what?
What is that going through your head?
Yeah, exactly.
I would just be like, shit! I wouldn't even be thinking logically at that point. And it's interesting because Cam is third in line for the throne. And there's a lot of, I don't know why I'm calling him Cam all of a sudden, Oryk. And there's a lot of speculation that Kat will get her throne and it will be via Oryk. But there's been no interaction.
It's the only one she can get because she's not going to get anything with Sedain, even she can say that. He's not king or doesn't have like a proper thing.
Well, I actually think Takaris and Serena will die and she'll get her throne in Boromir because she's third in line. We learn.
And then she won't be happy. And the way that she got it. So that would be like,
yeah, bittersweet. Oh. Be careful what you wish for. That is the type of thing that could happen.
True. And they're not the man to hold the breath because fire is coming. So she's just holding and counting until 10 seconds with the dragon just breathing fire into them until Solas takes a break from that. And then they're like, okay, now what are we going to do? How you kill a dragon? That's like the question, and more for her when she had like all this power, but she can't use it. And again, she's been in so many situations where just one lining, boom, problem solved. And still she's not like putting down much to like, I mean, she's now doing stuff with Felix, but she's pretty much, she only training with Felix. Outside, she doesn't.
She doesn't seem to practice, does she? But you got to remember what she's been through. her whole foundations have been shaken, and I'm repeating Rebecca Yarros's words from when I saw her in London, and she does find this hard. She does find control hard. She also never expected to be a weapon. She's not the type of person that wants that feels comfortable being so destructive. So being scared of that is quite a normal feeling, I think. I say normal feeling. Nothing is normal about this fantasy world. But, you know, hopefully people know what I mean. But someone says, go for the eyes. Is that turn? Go for the other eye.
Yeah. And that's what she does. Morwen and Darnay just going to attack. There's nothing that wasn't very clear for me. So in the beginning, she said that a dragon no bigger than Darnay won't be managed to go through that entrance. So that means the soldiers can put another way.
Yeah, it was a network of caves. And then she said, it's because they were all pissed off. They were like, what? We didn't even have to hike down this death trap of a mountain. We could have just flown over and gone in the big door, gone in the front door. What I thought was interesting about the eye, again, another link to Harry Potter in the Goblet of Fire, when he has to fight, when they have the dragon task, two of them use a conjunctivitis. Mm-hmm. And it's what Sirius is going to recommend to Harry before Ron interrupts their conversation. It's not the first time in a fantasy series that we know that, or that we've learned that the eyes are the weak spot of a dragon.
Violet, second advice from Tarn. So she get two knives and she throw it to Solas. One of them goes in the target. So now Solas has no eyes.
She loses those daggers. Do you remember? Like she's left two daggers in the cave. Which ones are they? What runes are on those? We're never going to find that out. Or well, is in the book says
she took two knives. I don't know if she's wearing like knives and daggers. It doesn't say daggers, it says knives. So that's why I'm not sure if
she came from the kitchen when she went to pick up the chocolate cake. She's like, oh, that's a decent knife.
Yeah, I take it. Put it here. Yeah, but it's weird because normally they say the daggers.
Like, chop the chocolate cake and then just wipe the chocolate on it. Sorry.
They're still fighting, and Darna is doing amazingly, attacking Solas even when he's stronger and bigger than her. Violet, the only thing that she's thinking, okay, I can't use lightning because it will kill everyone. So she see the conduit that it was broken after all this rumble. So she got an idea. She's going to do the same that she'd been training with Felix. So she put the conduit between the scales. So Solas, she got on top. And then she started to send the lightning through the conduit. And it worked because Solas feel like pain. And then with the tail hits Violet. And then Violet just flying free. She gets hit on the floor really badly. And then I come back to help. But Sola is like taking against the wall. Violet's trying to sit out and she's seeing your like flashes. But she's like lost. Sloane comes to help.
She sees Liam's eyes and then she realizes it's Sloane.
Yeah, she thinks there for a moment that she's dead because she can see Liam's eyes.
Cat doesn't leap though. That's worth pointing out. She is there
with the arrows.
Cat is still fighting. And this might be the tiny glimpse of the start of the redemption arc for Cat. Is that she could have left.
Yeah.
She could have got to safety, but she's not.
Well, no, she's fighting against the dragon, and she's next to Violet.
She's helping save.
Yeah. Violet, she's feeling all the power coming through her body, and she's just holding it, and she's even thinking that better me dying, consumed by the power, that you're releasing and killing everyone here. Sloane can see that, and she's grabbing Violet. And at this point, I don't know if it's intentionally or she's like trying to help her doing something. And then when the sickness manifests and she's taking Violet's power.
And Darna! I claw at Sloane's grip, but the harder I fight, the weaker I feel. And the insufferable heat of my power lessens as Sloane starts to scream, letting me fall to the ground. So I think Sloane manifested in that moment because Violet needed her to. And we've kicked off a big discussion on Instagram about this amplification signa or this need wielder, which isn't a thing, and I know that you keep saying that. Like, it's not a
known official
signa. But I don't remember the point where Rebecca Yarros did confirm that we already know what the signa is. I haven't seen that clip of that it's been named. So I don't know, but you're convinced that we know. So it's not an underwhelming signet, that's a pretty cool one, that you can just manifest what you need. She manifested manifestation, basically. What I mean to say is that there's a moment of need. Sloane needed it then. Violet needed her power to attack Jack Barlow because he was a Venon. So their power was drawn to her, because not because she just hated Jack Barlow and he nearly killed Liam. It's because he was a Venon. So it was drawn to her at that point. That's when she manifested it. The moment that you are going to manifest your signet is when you need it. It doesn't matter whether you're, yeah, whether it's Violet needing it or whether it's Sloane needing it. She needs it. So Sloane manifested at that point because Violet needed to be siphoned. She needed her power to be, she needed a conduit, because the conduit was broken. She couldn't use it. And Sloane was her conduit.
But it's interesting to see that all of this is happening, the Violet feeling like she's being relieved from of the power, but at the same time she feels really weak. Then she heard a dragon screaming in the first story, so, oh no, Andarna, and then say, don't worry, she's fine. Sloane is the one who started screaming that, I drain you.
Freaking out.
Oh my God, do I have red eyes?
Yeah, are they red? I swear I didn't reach. Violet, I didn't take anything from you on purpose. Oh God, so am I turning Venon? And then Tan mentions Naelin, even though he says he would no longer speak of the one who came before. She is as Naelin was.
Yeah. Well, he says that we don't speak about the one who was before you or something like that. Don't ask me more questions about him.
And then so she explains, Violet explains that she's not turning and that she's a siphon.
And then Andarna come back to the light with her mouth and tail dripping blood. She kills Solas with a scorpion tail.
Yeah.
That is just so useful.
Yeah, it totally is. And that it can kill Venon as well, can't it? Do we know that? Or is that just what everyone says?
We haven't seen a situation when this happened.
No. Ripping their head off kills them.
Yeah.
Kind of like a zombie.
It's more like Highlander. They're immortals until somebody
rips their head off.
Yep.
Yeah, so Tan says Slayer, which is so interesting because he's proud of her. But he's also calling her out for doing something unforgivable, we're conventionally unforgivable.
Yeah, but you know that Tan wasn't the way. If a Tan goes there, he will kill someone.
Yeah, but why does he call Andarna a slayer?
Dragon slayer.
Yeah, I know, but that's not what she needs to hear at that moment in time. She needs to hear, you did the right thing. Whereas he's like, slayer.
Yeah,
I think or is he like, slayer! Like, slay.
Yeah, I think it would be more like, you know, when he goes so excited when Barley manifests their signal for the first time, Lightning Wielder!
Slayer!
So, Slayer!
Oh, I guess, maybe. Just because it's a bad one. I think
Andarna would be like really proud of herself. Like, an adolescent, I just killed this.
Yeah, I don't even breathe fire.
Yes. So I'm sure that she won't be like, oh my God, I killed her. No, you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Take that. Okay, I read that wrong.
Yes. The next scene is the Violet's waking up with the healers, and Zaydan is dead, and he's freaking out.
It's the start of Kat being a bit more bearable. I mean, I love Kat as a character. I love to hate her. I'm not sure I love to like her, but this is the start of it, isn't it?
Is she like the Dan and the woman version for you? Like you hate her, but at the same time, waiting for redemption.
I've said this before about Dane, that like when I'm reading a book, I don't think about, like I do think about what's going to happen in the future, but I the way I feel about a character is the way that they are acting right now. So I hate Kat in the last few chapters when she's like turning up to the room in a see-through nightgown and she's saying stuff that's just awful. She's just a horrible, horrible person. But then when she starts to be a bit more bearable, I'm like, yeah, she's not that bad. But like, seen the error of her ways. People are redeemable.
I think.
Even like in real life and in fiction, people have to be redeemable. You have to allow someone to
have mistakes and be able to correct them.
Yeah, to redeem themselves, like be rehabilitated into being not a total scumbag like Kat was in the last couple of chapters.
Yeah, but yeah, Satan was shocked by seeing Kat there as well. Like, what are you doing here?
Like, get out of my bedroom. Get out of my pub. Only people that watched a specific, very British soap opera would get that reference. Sorry.
I don't get it, guys. So if you don't, it's fine.
It's just there's a character called, well, it's Peggy, but there's also a character called Kat in there. And she's like, you ain't my mother. And then the guy, yes, I am. And there's a big drama. You can cut this out.
No, I'm going to leave it there. Anyway, so Kat said, well, she saved my life. And he was like, what? Saved your life? How is that even possible? But she just lived. And then say that, like, oh my God, you okay? You're fine? Like, yeah. Okay, now we're going to fight. What are you thinking? Why you save her life?
Mm.
Well, she's the third on the throne, so I had to save her. Like, I think he was like trying to not to laugh as well. Like, what? You save her because she is the third in the throne? Yes, otherwise you will be in trouble if Tecaros found out that she died when you were supposed to look after her. I can deal with that, but I can't deal with...
deal with losing you.
Yes. He said that everything that he's doing is just because he cares about her. He wants to keep her safe. And she laughs. Oh, so that's what you do. I got mixed up with just not killing me. And Satan says, there it is.
Finally.
You finally are ready to ask me about the deal I made with your mother. The end.
Chapter 55. Epigraph. Nothing kills powerful, unshakable love faster than opposing ideologies. The Journal of Warwick of Luceras. Translated by cadets Violet Swaringale and Dane Atos.
There's just one thing that I think about this epigraph. It's like, is he talking about experience?
Yes.
Or he's talking about something that he saw? Because the thing that I'm not sure is if we're thinking there's like a love story between either Lyra with Warwick or Lyra with Dalamore. So that's why I'm thinking that if he saw him, he knows this by experience. Maybe he thinks that no, the best thing that we can do is just protect ourselves and fuck the rest of the people outside of the walls. And she was like, no, we need to give him protection. We need to help the people. And those two ideologies that are still in fight until these days. Or was just Dalamore just like sick or like seeking power? That he just gets so corrupted, he turned into this massive venom trying to get as much power, eradicate and maybe the seven of them because they were like more powerful dragons. Mm. And she was just there like trying to stop him.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. Like, I think there's so much tea in this epigraph, but there's also at the same time no tea at all. So you get like... oh, it's juicy gossip. No.
Yeah, it's basically telling us that, yes, there's going to be a good story coming.
Yeah.
But you don't know anything yet.
Yeah, but we know... so the things we know that Warwick also talks about the complex interpersonal relationships that they all have between the first six. We also know that they do have opposing ideologies. Share the wards, don't share the wards. So I thought this was like kind of loose confirmation that Warwick and Lyra were in love at some point. However, could be a situation where Warwick was the Dane of the first six, Dalamore was the Zaydan, and Lyra was the Violet, where you had Dane. Warwick loved Lyra, or thought he did, but didn't actually do anything like that showed it. Just anyway, Lyra loved Dalamore, and then Warwick fell out of love with Lyra when he realized that she didn't want to protect, or she wanted to protect everyone. I don't know. It's not really enough there to say that, but I think what we're supposed to take from this is that Warwick and Lyra had something going on.
So much that we don't know about the story of Navarre or the continent, because we have what happened 650 years ago with the first six and Daramore. But also we had this story about the king. There was a ruler 1,000 years ago. Was this one that was killed by a Darkwielder, I think?
No, that was a Poromish king before Queen Mariah, I think. I think it was our beloved king, and there was basically a Darkwielder who could see extra well in the shadows. And I think that's foreshadowing for Zayden killing the king. But what I think we can say, semi-certainly, is that Rebecca Yarros is first and foremost a romance writer.
Yeah.
I do not think this is foreshadowing for Zayden and Violet falling out of love with each other. So the kind of nothing kills powerful, unshakable love faster than opposing ideologies. You're supposed to link it to Violet and Zayden, but it's not. It's more giving us a hint about the first six.
We know, at least by Rebecca Yarros, that Zayden and Violet, they are in game, whatever that means. For good or for bad, they're going to end together.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're having this fight about asking questions. And there's quite a lot of hints to Truthsayer in here. However, some of it is like contrary to that, that she's so desperate for the truth everywhere else, but not when it comes to Zayden. Mm-hmm. And it feels like there's some kind of countering going on where she does want the truth from Zayden, but she doesn't want to have to ask for it. Mm-hmm. She's a bit scared of what she'll find out from the questions she wants. She wants him to just be open and get rid of the questions. He says it's simple. The second you have a question, you ask it. And then she's like, simple. Brennan is alive. You made a deal with my mother for my life. She put those scars on your back. Tell me, Zayden, is it only the secrets about my family you want me to dig out of you? Are you holding anything about Mira? Do you think he is holding anything about Mira?
I won't be surprised, to be honest. We know that she hates him. At least at the beginning. I would be surprised if something happened before Violet. I don't think that there's nothing that he's holding from Mira.
I wonder if he knows something. But I don't know. I've got no speculation about what it could be. The deal with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Tyrish custom. He does it for Violet too. I think it was his suggestion, right? We don't think it was her suggestion. He said, put the kids in the quadrant. I will owe you one. Don't know what that's going to be yet, but you can a favor that you can call on any time.
I definitely think it was Zayden's idea. And then, I don't think she's that bad, because we know by letter that she didn't even want the children to be witness or the parents' execution. So that's somebody that is a parent. And I think when she saw this opportunity, maybe just telling to the people, look how bad I'm being with this guy.
Yeah, but it was actually Dane's dad that was bragging about it. It wasn't her. The scars obviously were a security measure for Navarre. So I get that. Him taking responsibility for them was a security measure. But they were never in any danger anyway, because he was planning to rebel. But I think she knew even at this point that she was going to need him to look after Violet. Because, one, I think she planned all along to send Violet into the Rider Squadron. She just hadn't figured out how to get it past the dad. And then the dad died. Ask me why I don't regret it. Ask me about the first time I saw you. Ask me about the moment I almost killed you despite the deal and decided not to. Ask me why. Ask me something. Fight back like you would have done last year before I broke your trust. Stop being so scared of the answers and waiting for me to give them to you. Demand the truth. I need you to love all of me, not just what you decide to see.
But you're right. When it's about Zayden, she's just scared to ask because she might not like the answer.
Also, I think part of it is a bit, that is what it says on the page, but also part of it's a bit stubborn. It's like, I need him to tell me, and I've decided that I'm going to wait for him to tell me, and I'm going to be pissed off about it until he does. And then he's not on the same page. He wants her to ask. So he's just, they're just never going to have it until it boils over and they're fighting about something completely different. And then this comes out because they've both been brooding over it. It's like, and Garrick is trying his best for them to improve their communication, but they're just not listening. That's why communication in relationships is so important.
Yeah. How she can trust when there's battle access or find out they are mods. And say that, and like, what? Didn't get that. And she went, no, this was an analogy they use where I'm a gen, so doesn't matter because he didn't get it. And then he's like, oh, okay, I can work with that.
Yeah.
So he take it like because literally.
Because there's a knife to armoire.
Yes. So he is basically trying to prove her that even when she doesn't know what he's hiding, what he has, or even if it's something that he actually could hurt her, he won't.
Mm.
That's the thing that he's trying to show. Plus, there's other stuff that she doesn't know because she's not being like looking or no asking. And it's here when he mentions this blanket.
This has to come back later, doesn't it?
For me, there's one thing that's clear about this. The mother make a blanket for Zaydan. So clearly the mother loved him. Otherwise, she won't bother to do that. You know, the first time when we were reading about Fourth Wing, I didn't know anything about Fenn at this point. I didn't know that he was actually a good person or anything because I was just reading that he was like the traitor.
Mm-hmm.
There was a part when Zaydan is like, opened the door for Violet. So he like had like good manners and Violet surprised about it. And then he said, well, it's something that I learned from my dad. And when he's saying that, he's like saying it sad because obviously he missed him. So that was the first hint for me that Fenn Ryerson was a good person because obviously Zaydan loved him. So
you didn't hold doors open for me. Actually, you probably
I had no shadows to do that, I'm afraid.
You probably
that
do.
That was my excuse.
I'm sure you do. We just we don't
well,
have those
I
type
had
of
shadow,
doors.
But they didn't do anything, you know?
You do, actually, I think. Since we don't your shadows. Sorry, I'm blind.
Yeah, but again, for me, this is just like a hint that the mother loved him.
Yeah, I don't think there was a marriage contract. I think something forced her to leave. She had to leave. I really don't want her to be Venon.
I'm more into she's queen somewhere. I don't think Emperor male. I think she's outside of the continent. And that's why it's said that don't see her or doesn't know anything about her because he can't just see her.
Zayden's mum could also have been a god. She was only on a goddess. She was only allowed to be in the mortal realm for a certain amount of time. Either way, it shows that she cared about him. I also have another theory about this blanket. You know what it made me think of? It made me think of the Tearish knots. And I wonder if this blanket was like knitted or knotted. Do we think it could have some magic woven into it? Or is it just sentimental?
I think it's just sentimental because he is carrying he's saving the room. They're giving the rebellion relic. Next to his
bed. So he's a sentimental person.
He is.
Yeah.
So this is, I don't know if it's going to be the only thing that he has made by his mom, or it's something that directly remind his mother.
Of his mom, yeah. So this is where we get the declaration of love that I mentioned right at the beginning, where I said it was Zaydan, and I was like, oh no, it was Violet. It was Violet. He asks her why she can't ask him the questions. Why does she not want to know? Because I love you, because I want to think you kept me alive those first few months before threshing because you were intrigued or impressed by me or attracted to me like I was to you, and not because you made a deal with my mother. Because it's horrifying to think that the only reason you fell in love with me is because of her. Because maybe you're right and I didn't want that particular truth. Since I know there's a thin line between devotion and obsession, between cowardice and self-preservation, and I'm walking it when it comes to you. I love you so fucking much that I ignored every warning signal last year, and now half the time I don't know what side of that line I'm standing on because I'm too busy looking at you to watch my own feet. That's a really good declaration. I like that.
Yeah. We have Zaydan telling all this stuff as well the first time, and the torture chamber.
Taking a while to get her side, isn't it?
Yeah, then he just encouraged her to ask him the right questions and he will answer to her. And then she said, oh, okay, then tell me, why is your second signet?
You didn't mean that question.
Yeah, Violet basically said that this is the first time that he said I'm shocked.
Yeah, the blood drains from his face.
Yes. So he doesn't answer, which is like, okay, is he actually Violet Roussayer here? Because he did have a question and he didn't answer. But obviously that's something that you need to channel to actually do it. I'm guessing it's not something that comes and goes.
Yeah, really good point.
Yeah. And normally it's when she's like a lot of stress or when she's having a really good time.
Mm.
If it's saying return.
Can I just check though? Because she says, so much for asking. I just can't figure out why Sigil was allowed to choose you. How she got away with it. How you both did.
Mm-hmm.
Is this all because the rider on record was his great uncle? Do the dragons know? Or is Sigil like... Kaori says, like, Sigil just doesn't give a shit. She doesn't follow rules.
Yeah, I don't think dragons keep any records or anything. They just, before they decide about anything.
Yeah, they have good memories.
They come to recall line every single dragon, the riders, all the story.
I bet Tern would. Tern's so pedantic like that.
No, I think the official version was it was like a distant relator from Zaydan. So at the same as Queen, so that's how it went. But that's it. It was just something that doesn't happen very often. But he doesn't say anything. And then somebody is knocking at the door. And Zaydan is, fuck off!
Yeah.
Like,
Zaydan is saved by the Wyvern. A horde of Wyvern has been spotted flying from Pavis towards the cliffs.
So Zaydan sent something to Brennan, then talks to Violet that you're ready to raise those wards or you would like to wait until they are in the gates. And she says, fuck. That was the end of chapter 55.
Yes, we had such good stuff in there. So we had more information about siphons, but also still no idea how they worked.
We're still doing some speculation with how Brennan was resurrected. Yeah. A little bit more about Narlin. Could be a bit terrorish. That would explain a lot of stuff, the runes.
A bit of a redemption for Kat, the deal with the mom, the second signet info, just jam-packed with stuff. And next week we'll be able to see, to talk a little bit about the wards, how they're raised, and we find out Zayden's second signet.
Yes, that's going to be next week on chapters 56 to 58. We'll still be three chapters at a time.
Yes, so if you have made it this far, again, well done. Thank you for listening to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Iron Flame.
Join us next week when we will be reading chapters 56 to 58. These are three longer chapters, so we've got a bit of a shorter episode this week, but brace yourselves for next week.
Hopefully the epigraph of the next chapter is not going to be as juicy.
It really is.
Yeah.
I'm not really hurt.
No, I'm trying to just keep focused on what I'm doing.
I can't help it. I think I've listened from the end of the chapter that we've been reading to the end of the book several times just because I just get so addicted. It was never our continent. From the very beginning, it was theirs, and we were simply allowed to live here. The Journal of Warwick of Luceris, translated by Cadet Violet Sorengail.
Yeah, I remember this, and I think we're going to have so many things to talk about dragons, and...
We don't think it was the dragon.
Yes.
Yeah, I remembered it was a juicy one. Please, if you aren't already following us, it's not about the following. If you aren't already chatting to us in the comments of our reels, then please come and check it out. We absolutely love hearing your theories, your take on our theories. They're all bonkers. I know that, but we absolutely love chatting with you on Instagram. So if you haven't already found us, then we are at Faithfully Fantasy Pod over there.
We have lots of reels in our Instagram page. You can just choose whatever topic you fancy to talk about. doesn't matter how old it's been, the reel, you put a comment there and we will reply to you.
Or even if it's like totally unrelated to the reel, but it's just the one you found. We're getting that quite a few of those. They're like, this isn't related to this reel, but I've been thinking about this. Yeah, it's our favorite thing about this whole thing is chatting to people, to all of you about our crazy theories, your crazy theories, things that we've done wrong because we do make mistakes. So feel free to publicly correct us.
Yes. If you are watching us on YouTube, don't forget like, subscribe for more deep dives in the world of Iron Flame. Like we said, you can follow us on Instagram, but also we have TikTok. It's still there. We're not as active as we are in Instagram.
I don't know what we're doing wrong, but we...
TikTok just don't like us. What are we going to say?
Oh, no, I don't think we should blame TikTok. I think it's that we don't understand why, how to beat that, how to reach you all on TikTok. We just can't work it out. We're just not having the same kind of reaction on TikTok.
Sure. Also, we have our website where you can find every single episode from day one until now. It's faithfullyfantasy.com where you can find more information about us. You can find all the apps that we use to release the podcast.
Please give us a rating on your podcast app, wherever you are listening to this episode. The ratings really help us like boost the podcast and reach new people. So like-minded people like you.
That's all for today's episode. We say goodbye for now, but we'll see you next week with more Faithfully Fantasy.
Bye. You'll leave that in one day.